Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 104, and it is March 28th, 2018. I'm your host, Russ, and of course, I'm joined with that wrestling guru of gurus, and that pizza guru of gurus, Kent, and nobody else, because obviously if you heard my voice first, Carrie's not here. Couple more weeks, you'll get her back. Kent, how you doing?
I'm all right. I had pizza last night. I had tacos tonight.
I had tacos too.
Last week, too. You had tacos?
I had tacos tonight. Yes. Fantastic.
See, Taco Wednesdays isn't the worst idea we've ever had.
No, it fits along nicely with Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Spaghetti Thursday.
Yes, it works. All right, so. Fans, if you don't know what we do by now, well, then you haven't been paying attention. We talk about wrestling. And gosh darn it, that's what we're going to do tonight. But instead of our normal weekly wrap-up stuff, we're saving that stuff for the big stuff next week. This week, we're going to do a special WrestleMania moments countdown. We're going to do the best and the worst. We'll talk about those each. Kent and I have... We try to keep them separate lists. But some of the things we kind of coincided on, we'll talk about that. But other than that, before we get to that, Kent, tell me, what's your moment of bliss?
Well, since little Wu was off injured with her dental work, I don't really have a place to talk about this. So, this week for my moment of bliss, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead. So, they killed off Tobin. I like Tobin. He's been one of my favorite characters in Alexandria. Doesn't get many lines. Doesn't have a very great hairline. Perfect guy. Really like him. He made a really good walker. Very tall, menacing guy. But then, after everything was said and done, there was a man lying in a bed. And he was so sad and whiny. And it was my man, Kent. Kent was also attacked. Kent is going to die very soon in The Walking Dead. And that makes me very sad. So why do I still bring this up in my moment of bliss? For one glorious fucking reason. The Saviors attacked Hilltop with arrows and other weapons that had some walker blood. So they would, you know, taint them. And Tara got shot by an arrow by Dwight. Now, whether Dwight was using a tainted arrow, we don't know yet. One can only hope that... You know, I will accept Kent dying if it means Tara dying. If not, this will go down as one of the worst episodes of all time, where it's a fake-out, and Tobin and Kent dies. But if Tara dies as a result of this, this will truly be a moment of bliss for the whole year for me. Because I hate that bitch. I hate that bitch almost as much as I hate Charlotte.
And that's your moment of bliss.
And that's my moment of bliss.
Oh, you know what's funny? I'm glad you're teetering it on. It could be the moment of bliss of year, but it's probably going to be a fake out, just the way it sounds.
Yeah, I may have to punch something really hard and hurt my hand afterwards and be like, oh, why'd I do that?
All right.
Yo, with that being said, normally we'd blather on about some other nonsense, but fuck this week. Russ... More importantly, I need to know, who is your man crush of the week?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. So, this week, I'm not going to lie to you, it was tough. It was so mundane. Nothing was bad. It was just there this week. It was really tough. But one
they
man...
They went through the motions, did they not?
It felt like it, yes, very much so. It was a motions week. But it was, like I said, it wasn't bad. It was just motions. I'm going to say that my man crush of the week, though, this week, really stuck out in my head. I'm going with Jinder Mahal. Okay, yes, I know. He's had a fantastic body for a while now, and I should have been choosing him. But it just didn't work until he really started growing out his hair. Yes, it's wet, so it's got a little bit of that Roman shine to it. But it's at that right length. It looks really good on him.
Is it weird that he's growing out his hair like Rusev, and Rusev is cutting his hair short like Jinder's used?
Yes.
Like, former tag team partners this week, kind of interesting that they're going opposite routes.
Mm. I liked it. I'm not going to lie. He looked really good with it. I was like, and he's getting better as a heel. He exactly where he needs to be right now.
The light bulb's finally clicked for him.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised you didn't choose Fandango, because he was dancing like a motherfucker.
I know, but I'll be honest with you. I fast-forwarded most of that match, and I missed it.
I don't even remember who Tyler fought.
Wasn't it with Dolph Ziggler in there, too?
Oh, yeah, okay, Dolph. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah. And I think Dolph won.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're trying to tease a breakup of Fandango.
Yeah, actually, just last week, I believe I read an interview with Tyler talking about, you know, what he thinks about possibly breaking up with Fandango. So, that could be something.
Definitely. I don't know, just because I fast-forwarded it, but I noticed that Tyler was getting distracted by Fandango's stupidity on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I kind of wish I'd seen it. I'm a bad fan of the Fashion Files, but
I haven't watched it since it stopped being on. Like, I don't go to watch on the network. I refuse.
Right, right. And fuck I'm that. Not about to. And I don't know. I was just getting tired at that point because I waited till later to watch it, so I just fast forwarded.
So, fair enough.
It took my shot. All right. So now, with that said, we need to go to a corner. Not because we were bad, but because that's where Carrie's corner is. And she's got all the wrestling scoops for us. But Kent, you're taking over Carrie's corner. How is it over there tonight?
I called her a bad name yesterday. I felt good about it. Well, in appreciation of the Carrie corner and not really knowing what the hell to talk about this week, I figured I was going to bring up a New Japan Pro Wrestling tag team that I recently quote-unquote discovered via Eric. This tag team's called Roppongi 3K, and the two wrestlers are Sho and Yo. And the reason I bring them up is because they do the Nine Deuce hand sign. So that's a plus. And the other thing I'll bring up, because next week we might not... We might just have to shove the corner aside, because next week's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, it's going to be long. Yeah, I don't want it to be... I think we need to... Goals should be under 2 hours next week.
Yeah, that may not happen. but in honor of Carrie, I just wanted to run down the Super Card of Honor 12 that's going to be happening the same night as NXT. Yeah, if you're complete mental midget, you'll watch this over NXT. Yeah, I'm insulting every single person that's going to watch this over NXT, because NXT is going to be fucking phenomenal. I just caught up on that shit. But to run down the card, you got the Briscoes versus Jay Lethal and Hiroshi Tanahashi, and that's going to actually be a very good match. I'm familiar. Briscoes, I really like. There is a team that really could have made it in WWE. They really could have. Jay Lethal also could have been a star. Kenny King versus Silas Young. Kenny King's phenomenal, so he... I don't know much about Silas Young, but it's a last man standing match for the television championship, so I assume that should be a very good one. Tomohiro Ishii versus Punishment Martinez. I'm picking Punishment Martinez because that's a fantastic name, and I don't know either of these people. SoCal Uncensored, which is Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky versus Flip Gordon and the Young Bucks. Well, we all know who I'm taking on that one. Not the Young Fucks. Assholes. Hangman Page versus Kota Ibushi. It's a singles match for the... No, it's just a singles match. My reading is good. I'm going to go with the Hangman. It's a cool name.
Now, you mentioned Page for a second there, Kent. Yep. Can we talk about Paige real quick?
Yeah.
Does it look like she's kind of letting herself go now that she knows she can't wrestle?
Yeah, but she dolled her face up a lot.
She has. She has. But it.
But yeah, the body...
Starting to not look like the old Paige.
No.
Shame.
Speaking of, though, the next two matches, you got Kelly Klein versus Mayu Iwatani. And then you also got Sumi Sakai versus Tennille Dashwood, better known as Emma. Those two matches are happening. The winners are going to square off, and the winner of that final part of that tournament will be the inaugural Woman of Honor champion. So that's pretty good, because Emma deserves it.
It's all about Emma. It is.
And then the final two matches, you got Dalton Castle versus Marty Scurll. I don't hate Marty Scurll, except he hangs out with the Young Fucks, so I'm taking Dalton Castle because that guy's a fucking genius. He's probably the best thing Ring of Honor has going. And the main event is Cody Rhodes versus Cody Omega. And that wraps up Barry's Corner.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Who was that?
What?
I don't know.
I'm out of the corner.
Okay, all right, we're out of the corner, so we can't talk about it anymore. All right, so. All right. Out of the corner and to the Were You Not Entertained?
That's Jesus, right. Jesus, it's like we're going through all of our segments, first of all.
I know. This is usually something we usually leave towards the end, but there's just so much to go through. Well, not really. But we don't have to be slow on this week. Were You Not Entertained? Kent, this week's topic is the Bayley/Sasha breakup. Kent, were you not entertained?
I was. And here's the reason why I was entertained. I didn't expect them to actually go through with it. I actually thought they were going to hold off on it because I don't think this match fits into the card anywhere at this point. So I feared that they would hold off, have them do something stupid at the Battle Royal, and then like the very next night on Raw, I thought that's when they were going to have this. But they pushed ahead with it. And what intrigues me most, I love how they have written Sasha. Because Sasha, by all rights, has been the right person in this particular squabble, I think. Every point she's made, if you're in a match with somebody and it's like every person for themselves, you do what you have to do to try to win. Even if it's stupid, you try it. I can't blame her. Plus, Bayley was terrible as champion. And as much as I love Bayley, she was a terrible fucking champion. So I'm on Team Sasha here. I'm on Team Forehead. And yes, I was entertained. Also, it was nice seeing, what's her name? Sarah Stock was the lady. Yeah, what do you think, Russ?
I was definitely entertained. Not so much for the reasons you were. But I thought the beatdown was good. I thought that was a good beatdown. I love the use of the lockers. But
it wasn't even really a beatdown. It was a pretty good back and forth tussle.
Yes.
What did you say?
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Beatdown's a bad word. I guess both of them got beat down, I was going with. But it was a really good tussle. I thought pretty vicious. There was a time when Bayley's head got slammed off the lockers, which I was like, holy crap. I hope she put her hand up.
She took that like a fucking champ.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if she put her hand up and made that noise or not, but holy crap. But at the end, someone, I don't know who it was, screamed out something really hilarious, and it just sold the whole thing on me. And I can't remember what they said, but it was friggin' hilarious. Like something like Sasha needs or Bayley or these ladies need we need a stretcher, you know, like, because it wasn't that bad of a beatdown, you know what I mean? Like a tussle.
I know exactly, and I smiled at the comment when it was said.
It was funny. I was like, okay, all right, that sold it for me. So yes, I was.
We were both
entertained.
Yeah. Good. We agree on something.
For once. That's probably
unlike
last time.
Unlike what's about to happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about agree/disagree. I think we tried staying out of each other's way as much as possible.
Move, bitch. Get out the way.
All right. So, let's talk about WrestleMania, but not about WrestleMania that's coming up. That's next week. Let's talk about the best moments or decisions made in WrestleMania history. I don't want to say top five of each because I know there's some honorable mentions we're going to talk about a little bit too, but kind of like a list of five that we thought were some of the worst decisions made on the grandest stage of them all. Now, we're not going to talk about
ones,
what
we're going to start with the good ones.
Oh, but we're going to start
with sharing the power of positivity first.
Okay. So we'll start with a good one. I think that's good. Good. Positive. I like it.
We're going to delineate straight to hell by the end of this.
Oh, yeah. Good point, because we all know what's happening at the end of this. So.
Yep.
So we'll start with the top five best decisions WWE made for WrestleMania. Do you have any honorable mentions, Kent, that you'd like to start with?
I have a bunch of them. Just looking through the list. Cyndi Lauper at WrestleMania 1 was really fucking smart. Bringing in Mr. T, really smart. It was cool, like, seeing all the celebrities, like, I was looking through. I went year by year, like, Ozzy was in WrestleMania 2, Alice Cooper, WrestleMania 3. There was just a lot of cool stuff. You know, I'm kind of surprised, and most people's list this would be on here, like Andre passing the torch to Hogan at WrestleMania 3 at Pontiac Silverdome. Savage versus Steamboat. Like, people are going to hate us because that's not on either of my top five.
I think for me, too long ago. I can't say I watched it.
It's a great match, and that's why I'm acknowledging it simultaneously. There's been better things. That's all I'll say about that. WrestleMania 5, the build-up to the Mega Powers match, although the match itself wasn't great, that was one of the best storylines that they told in, like, the 80s.
Yeah. Great build-up.
Let's see. I'm going to skip that. Return of the Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 8.
Fantastic.
Bret versus Piper, WrestleMania 8 for the Intercontinental Championship is really underrated. WrestleMania 9, the only positive thing I had was Giant Gonzalez versus Undertaker for comedy reasons.
I was going to say, that's actually, I was thinking about it as a worst, but then I was thinking, no, that was hilarious.
Another thing of hilarity the next year was Macho Man versus Crush in a, it was like, no holds, I don't know, something. Anyways, like, it was silly, but it was also good because Savage was at his pure crazy height in WWF. So that was fun. Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund at WrestleMania 11 in an I Quit match. Very underrated. Piper versus Goldust Hollywood Backlot Brawl, WrestleMania 12. Austin versus Savio. Very underrated match. Neither of us have the Iron Man match. And for good reason.
There's a lot of good reasons for that.
Yeah. Let's see. WrestleMania 14. Neither of us have Shawn passing the torch to Austin with Mike Tyson involved. Neither of us had...
Which is funny, because that's the moment I started liking wrestling. That's when I started watching it.
That one also had the Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie versus New Age Outlaws in the dumpster match.
The dumpster match, which was fantastic.
It was funny. It was a fun match. They also had Triple H versus Owen and Rock versus Shamrock. WrestleMania 15, looking at the card, maybe the single greatest WrestleMania card. I know 17's considered it, but look at the two cards and tell me... I don't know. It's debatable. That's what I will say about that. Something that's not on either of our list, and this is the truest honorable mention I can offer. Taker, Boss Man, Hell in a Cell, Boss Man Lynched, Brood. I thought you were definitely going to take that one.
I thought you were taking it, so I didn't bother.
So that's why that's the most honorable of possible all honorable.
I seriously just left it off. I was like, there's no way Kent's not taking that.
Let's see, moving on. Wait a second, did you not put the WrestleMania 18 one? The Cody Rhodes greatest match ever? You didn't pick that, did you?
No.
Okay, well, so Rock versus Hogan. Neither of us put that on there.
Yeah.
According to Cody, we're idiots and we don't understand wrestling. And that's why he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to say, in the moment, it was fantastic. But up to that moment, it was not a great decision.
It wasn't a great booking decision because there's no way that anybody at the top knew that the crowd was going to react that way.
Exactly. There was absolutely no way. Leading up to that match, I remember us being like, this is stupid. Hogan's old. It's not going to be a good match at all. We were wrong. I will fully admit to being wrong.
Oh, yeah. We were wrong. Absolutely. But, yeah.
But it was not... Nobody expected that. So I can't say that that's a best decision because... At the time, it wasn't the best decision.
Exactly. WrestleMania 19. Austin versus Rock, the final of the trilogy, the final Austin match himself, which was really good. Didn't main event, though. HBK versus Jericho was on that card. And Brock versus Kurt with the shooting star press from hell.
Yeah. Ugh. I almost want to put that in my bad, but...
number 20. Very good. Very... There's a stretch between 20 to 23 where I think three out of those four WrestleManias were really good. So I just highly recommend them. I think I already overlooked...
Well, we didn't talk about... Hmm? Well, I was going to say, we didn't talk about, like, Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit.
Well, there was a year where it was Eddie, or not Eddie, it was Kurt, Jericho, and Benoit, and they had two matches. Kurt had to both the European and the Intercontinental Championship. He lost one to Jericho, one to Benoit. Yep. It was fantastic.
Yep, that was a great match.
Number 20 also had Christian versus Jericho. Criminally underrated. Great story. Remember, it was all about Trish?
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was good.
That was very good. Evolution versus Rock and Sock Connection was also that year. I am trying to get through this as fast as possible. The next year was WrestleMania 21. I highly recommend going back to that one. That was the year Batista versus Triple H. That was the year that they went Hollywood. They did all those film parodies and stuff, which was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, those were good.
Cena won his first championship versus JBL. Kurt versus HBK happened that year as well. One of the all-time great matches.
Fantastic match.
Also that year was Randy versus Taker. One of the all-time great matches. Like, and then you include Triple H versus Batista. Like, you have some great matches, plus you have Edge winning the first ever Money in the Bank against, and this was stacked, Benoit, Christian, Kane, Jericho, and Shelton Benjamin. Also, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. Like, that's a great fucking card.
Mm.
I just sold you on that. I know. I just saw your eyebrows raise. 22 is the one we can skip because it had Edge versus Foley in the flaming table spot, which was great. It also had Mickey versus Trish. And that's about it.
Right.
23, HBK versus Cena. Main event was good. Taker Batista, good. Mr. Kennedy winning Money in the Bank. Lashley and Umaga with Vince and Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that was a pretty good short match. It was a good story. The next year, we had Taker versus Edge. That was the main event. We had Batista versus Umaga for a 7-minute match. Fun. Punk won his first ever Money in the Bank. The next year, Punk won the Money in the Bank again. I'm not going to mention that because I feel like that's on one of our lists. It's got to be on one of our lists. Let me double check this. Yeah, it's on our list. Okay, it's on my list. Number 26 didn't have much. Jericho over Edge was fun. But what bothered me about that, and this is, goes on the bad one, Swagger won the Money in the Bank, and he should have came out and cashed it because both of them were, like, bloodied and beaten all to hell, and they didn't have the cash in.
That would make a lot of sense.
It fills.
Yeah.
And we all thought it was happening, and it didn't.
Yeah.
I think that was also, like, the same year I was picked Big Show at Royal Rumble, so not a good year for me.
No, it was not.
27, really shitty year. Miz beating Cena.
Which is a good decision.
Yeah, it was. God, that card is terrible, though. And Triple H versus Taker, which was a 30-minute fucking match between two dinosaurs at that point.
Yeah.
28, you had Rock versus Cena. Taker versus Triple H again with Hell in a Cell, Fortune Fame, Amanda Bynes. Punk versus Jericho got completely overshadowed because of The Rock. Completely overshadowed. The next year, The Rock fucked Punk even harder by taking his belt at the Rumble and then losing it to Cena at Mania. So that was great. Kudos to the booking team on that. God.
You're making it sound like those are bad decisions, Kent. We're talking about the good stuff.
Yeah. Number 29, the only thing I really have, the only thing I have is Taker versus Punk and Living Color performing Punk's theme song. That was the highlight. That was a terror.
That was another bad year. There's a lot of bad years coming up.
Yeah. I can't even talk about 30 other than say Cesaro won the first ever Andre the Giant Battle Royal. 31. Really surprised that... I'm not surprised, but honorable mention for you. Randy versus Seth was one of those... Remember how great that RKO was?
That was one of the best RKOs.
And then later on, you had the cash-in.
The cash-in, yep.
That also had Daniel Bryan in a ladder match against Wade.
I can't believe I left that off the top five for me personally.
Yeah. How are you feeling right now?
I kind of feel stupid. I want it back.
Yeah. Okay.
take it back.
So Daniel beat Wade, Dean, Dolph, Cody, Luke Harper, and R-Truth in the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. That was really good.
That was great. Yep.
And he immediately had to retire.
Had to retire.
Thereafter.
Yeah. That was not good.
Next year,
Baron Corbin won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental Championship match. Like, that's
for one day.
And last year we have AJ versus Shane and Jericho versus Owens, and that's where the good. They have had a really bad run, but we're talking
this
about
week,
positive things.
Yeah, right. Well, you got to talk positive. This year's looks good. This year's looks good.
This year has a lot more potential than the past almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I think this is the best card in almost 10 years. So,
right.
With that being said, I've talked a lot. I'd like to know what your top five is, or do you want to go 5-5-4-4? How do you want to do
it? I would do 5-5-4-4. Let's do it that way. I think it's a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. So, my number five, I'm going to say, is the ladder match between Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys, I believe, correct? I don't want to like make sure I'm a liar. And the Dudley Boys.
I wasn't trying to stutter intentionally. That really just happened.
Well, it works, because isn't that what they used to do with them?
Yeah, Bubba had the stutter.
Bubba had stutter, right, yes. So, that was pretty good. I'm going to go with that as my number five, and here's the reason why. It was the start of one hell of a revolution for a great ladder match at Mania. And it wasn't the first one. I'm not saying it was the first one. But it was the start, actually, of a tag team doing it. Anyway. Right?
That was like the renaissance of the tag team division in general.
Right. And it started. Yes. I know the next year, the TLC match was far superior. But I'm looking at it as a booking decision. If they didn't do that, if they didn't have that booking decision for that first ladder match, that TLC probably wouldn't have happened. Or if the first one was a disaster. In any case, that TLC wouldn't have mattered. So I'm saying that the booking decision to let them have this match is what really elevated it. And every year since, almost, has always had one fantastic ladder match. Almost. Not. There's a couple of years where it's missed.
By and large, though, it's been, I mean, pretty much towards the end, almost all of the years that I mentioned anything positive in the shit years had something to do with the ladder match.
Exactly. So it was the beginning of that. So I have to say that was a great booking decision.
I agree. And in the spirit of the question, you're right in taking the first one over the second one, because it was a gutsy move to put that match
correct
on that particular card.
Right.
So, my number five is a blast from the past that I know we're actually going to be talking about this event at some point later, I believe, but WrestleMania 10, the opening match, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
Mm.
Bret Hart was guaranteed a title match later on between the winner of Lex Luger and Yokozuna, and so they smartly had Owen get the win, because it didn't hurt Bret in the least bit, and it made Owen the threat the whole like second half of the year. He was in the main event scene. That was fucking brilliant.
I would say that's a great booking decision, because you didn't think they'd have it. You know what they do with the, you know, you know what they do when it comes to some of their charging to be the champion. Always win right before the big deal.
Strap the fucking rocket boosters on,
yep,
man.
And just go crazy. And to let that slip in, it was a fantastic booking decision. It really gave Owen
gave
his
credibility.
Credibility, exactly.
Yeah. It was a great match. One of the all-time great matches.
All right. So, my number four, for me, is Ultimate Warrior getting the win to become the first Intercontinental / WWE World Champion. That was a great decision. Ultimate Warrior's popularity at the time was just so surging up. And they capitalized on it. And this is, I like to think of this as one of those first times I really understood capitalizing on that lightning in the bottle type thing. This is one of those first ones I ever realized with wrestling. It was the perfect opportunity for them. And it just, it was great. And it was, I don't remember the match being phenomenal, but
it actually won Match of the Year for PWI. It did.
The story, I think, made it. I think that's one of those ones where the story really sold the match.
Because they were so evenly matched. I mean, they even did the double clothesline where they both hit each other. That was like the first time I'd ever seen the double clothesline.
That was so fantastic.
Epic to me.
Yeah, exactly. There's that epicness to it.
not like, I mean, that was my very first WrestleMania. So I, when I first started watching wrestling, I was instantly hooked on Warrior, and I said, fuck Hogan. So like, this was like the perfect timing for me as a kid.
Right.
And as it turned out, Edge, Christian, Lance Storm, and even Stephen Amell, they were all in attendance as youngsters watching this epic collision.
It was good. I keep on trying to think, like, would the match held up if it wasn't for that, the story, the background, everything? And I don't think it would. So
for that era, it was still a good match, but no. I mean, it was name value, the storyline, and they instantly eradicate Warrior holding the Intercontinental Championship.
Well, yeah, but that's beyond WrestleMania's great decision to actually do it the first time. So,
correct.
I'm on that one. Okay, you're number four.
I am going to go. I've got to go with Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. This isn't the retirement match. This is the year before where they stole the fucking show. They weren't the main event. But they had that great storyline from Royal Rumble where they have the last two guys. And they had something to prove dating all the way back to the first Hell in a Cell where Kane made his debut, but it was Shawn versus Taker then. And they renewed this rivalry, you know, a decade later or so. And my God, when you talk about top 25 matches of all time, that match is way better than the second one. It's way better than the retirement match, in my opinion. Because you weren't sure what to expect. You, like, these guys were both getting old at the time. Obviously Shawn was on his last year, and Taker just kind of gotten past his prime, I think, and he was slowing down, but they brought out the fucking best in each other in that story.
And I think this is the match that also really started people considering the streak to be the streak. I know it was before they were talking, but this was the match, I think, that solidified it to be, holy crap, you know?
Randy's the one that got the streak talk going, but this was the match that solidified that, hey, this is fucking important.
Right, yeah. You're right. Randy got the talking going, but you're right. I don't know why. The Shawn Michaels, I honestly thought, was going to get the win. Because back then...
That was the great thing. Like, Kenny Omega eat your fucking heart out. Yes, there was lots of kickouts, but it worked so well. Yes. Like, they told a story. It wasn't, well, I'm just going for one big move. Oh, flippy shit. Oh, going for the pin. Oh.
The difference is story was driving this one where, and maybe it's our fault, maybe we only watch the big stuff. There's no story to them kicking out. It's just to be that excitement. That's what they have it for.
We're talking about two of the, 10 greatest storytellers in the ring?
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to get something. I mean, hey, maybe Mr. Omega can reach that pinnacle sometime. I'm not questioning his in-ring ability, but there's something to be said for in-ring ability plus storytelling.
Storytelling. Like, we always say it. Storytelling makes the match half the time.
Yeah, like, you know, as much as I love Benoit, he wasn't the greatest storyteller all the time. So that's why he doesn't get... Like,
he was good at telling
a
story.
A guy.
Yes. Critical was a package. Jericho was a package.
Right. And Taker and HBK were. So that's my number four.
All right. My number three. Now, this one's close with my number two. I wasn't sure how to go with this one. But I'm going with Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. And this is a real close to 2-3 with me. But I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon in WrestleMania's first ladder match. I believe I'm correct in saying that.
Yes, it was WrestleMania 10 again.
Yes.
The same night as Owen versus Bret.
Yep.
It was actually a good card, really.
Yeah, it was. And the one thing I liked about this match was, again, it's the first ladder match at WrestleMania. Just the guts to say, let's try this. Now, I know the story you were telling me earlier, Ken. It kind of ruined it a little bit for me, because I thought this was, like, one of the first. But, and that's kind of actually why I got down to three, Ken. So, thanks. You kind of pushed it down to three. It was going to be two at first.
Had I told you the full story about how originally Brett won the ladder match, and then Shawn stole the idea, and he's like, oh, I want to work with Scott and not Brett?
Oh, that, yeah, well, no. That goes up. That brings it up. What are you talking about? That brings it up. Thank God. Bret Hart, screw him.
Anytime you can screw Bret over, I think is a good thing.
Right. Never mind. It's back in business. It's back. But no, the decision to let that one go through. What an amazing match. It, on a great card. So that's my number three.
My number three is... See, I am torn between this and number two. Like, okay. My number one's clear-cut, but my two and three I could interchange. This may surprise you that this is my number three and not my number two. I'm going to go with WrestleMania 20, the main event, and I was just talking about this man, Chris Benoit, finally reaching the pinnacle of success in one of the greatest stories, all the way from Rumble, like how, like his build prior to Rumble, then taking Big Show out. Like, it was him versus Big Show, and he took Big Show out. Then this whole thing, and they included Shawn Michaels into it and Triple H. And those two guys just put on their working boots that night to make sure that everybody knew how great Benoit was. It wasn't just Benoit. It was all three guys coming together and saying, we're going to make sure the fans love this guy when everything is said and done. And the ending. I don't care if they said, all right, Eddie's going to come out. They couldn't have wrote how emotional that. Like, that shit was fucking beautiful.
Yeah,
Eddie
was.
And Benoit both winning their first world titles in WWE, having their hugging.
Yep.
Amazing.
Great moment.
So, I'm hard-pressed between that and my number two, but I think you'll understand why I chose number two when I get there. What's your number two?
All right, my number two, and this is tough, because in all honesty, and I shouldn't have, this is a shame on me, I forgot Seth Rollins going in for the cash-in. That's probably, honestly, my number two, because he's one of my favorite wrestlers. So shame on me for forgetting that. But my number two, other than that, was Daniel Bryan getting the... Now, you know what? The problem with Seth Rollins, going back to that real quick, it's been too recent. Too recent. I have to let that one sink in still. All right,
was
back...
Was it the year after...
Yes, it was. Shut up. Okay. Shut up. There's a four-year... I think it's a four-year difference. That's what's got to be, 4 years. All right, so my number two is Daniel Bryan getting the win over Triple H and into the match against... what's his name? Batista and...
Batista and Randy.
Oh, Batista and Randy. That's right.
Evolution.
That's right. He did go through Evolution, and he won the WWE Championship. Right decision, because everything leading up to... And I know, Kent, you're right. A lot of it was a lot of BS. I know you're on for that one. I get it. But if it was just the crowd was so behind Daniel Bryan. It was amazing how WWE seemed to be ignoring it all the way till the end. Now, if that was a ruse or whatever, I don't know. We'll never know, I don't think. But it was just the right decision. They did the right thing in the end. And kudos, because Daniel Bryan deserved
it. Batista didn't win.
No, I guess in the end, that really ruined Batista. But I think he made up for it being in... He's going to be in three blockbuster movies when it's all said and done. So, minimal three. He could have more. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard that he's dying in this next one, and that makes me sad.
I hope not. But he could, definitely.
He's so fucking great.
He is. He's one of the... Honestly, I did not like Galaxies 2 as nearly that much if it wasn't for Batista. He really saved that one for me.
Oh, Galaxies 2, where they killed four of my five favorite characters in the movie.
Yep.
And Dave's the only one that lived.
Yeah.
Everybody else that I liked in that movie, they killed.
So,
really happy.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right.
Question, though. What was the bigger moment? Was it him conquering Triple H? Or was it the actual the title win? Because part of me says
Triple H
was the bigger obstacle. Like, yeah. That was one of the best matches of all time, too.
Yeah. I want to say, I think the bigger obstacle was Triple H. Because, honestly, we all thought he was losing to Triple H, didn't we? We're all kind of like...
Remember that build-up? Like, how great was Triple H handcuffing him and bloodying him and everything? Like,
yeah.
God damn, that was great.
I honestly didn't think he was going to get the win, because it was just... Either they played it so well, or they made it... The internet at that point was starting to be trolled. I don't know. But it was... Everything going on at that point really screamed that Triple H, I felt, was going to win it. And then he didn't, which was great.
Yeah. It's interesting, because I think back, I'm like, I don't remember a damn thing from that main event, but I remember Triple H versus Daniel. So right. That, to me, is more memorable, even though it wasn't the bigger moment.
All right.
My number two... We're going to go way back to WrestleMania 7. Do you have any idea what I'm going with here?
Not at 7, no.
Career versus career. Warrior Savage, one of the greatest moments manufactured in the history of wrestling. Bitches were crying. Because it not only was the match fucking phenomenal, Macho Man hitting five straight elbows off the top rope couldn't put Warrior away. Warrior had to hit three of his fucking gorilla press slams to put Macho away. It wasn't even that. As great as that match was, it was Sherry berating Macho Man in front of everybody after he lost his career and Miss Elizabeth jumping the guardrail.
Saving him.
And bitches were crying. And it...
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, I was like, I feel something here. I don't know what, but I'm feeling something here. And God damn it, that... Like, you can still watch that, and it still conveys something. It's one of the best decisions WWE... That made Macho Man, like, his... As Macho King, he was... he had, like, kind of a weird year, but then he was never more popular.
Right.
He got fired, and, like, the fans were chanting, you know, higher... Whatever, they were chanting some bullshit. They had picket signs and everything. It was a big deal, so kudos. And kudos for them doing it back at WrestleMania 7.
Yep. Well, it wasn't the best decision for Miss Elizabeth, though. In the end.
Yeah. Yeah, drugs are a bad thing.
They certainly are. All right. So, number one. Now, number one for me, and I really debated this, but again, this goes back to story, really driving, and emotion, what you feel at the end of something. And this wasn't even that great of a match. It was good, because the story made it good. But HBK retiring Flair. It's my number one, because I distinctly remember... Shawn Michaels' face when he gave that last super kick to Ric Flair. I still remember it. Still gives me goosebumps thinking about how upset it made him.
Did he say, I'm sorry?
Yes, he did. He repeatedly said, I'm sorry, and did it. Now, of course, we all know that it was Flair definitely wanted it, obviously. But...
Does it surprise you that he chose Shawn over Triple H, considering we know how tight him and Triple H are? Like, is that a surprise? Or because they'd already done Triple H versus Flair so much that he went with... I've always wondered that.
I don't know. Because it makes more sense for me, like, Triple H. Flair would want to pass the torch to Triple H. But this wasn't really a torch passing at this point anyway. So...
Oh, so that's why Asuka's going to beat Charlotte's ass in a couple Sundays. It's all coming back full circle.
Yes.
Triple H is getting his vengeance for not being in that match.
Correct. There you go. See? So, no, but like, I just remember everything about that ending and being, it was really friggin' emotional. I don't think we were being emotional because, you know, we're assholes. So when we saw it, we were probably making fun of it. But, I mean.
Go on. Ric Flair still tears up talking, reminiscing about the match, making me feel awkward watching him.
That's true. I get that. I understand that. It was, and the thing is, though, Flair stayed retired, right? He's never wrestled again since. Or did he come back from that one? I can't remember.
TNA.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody counts TNA. That's like never wrestling.
Back when TNA
was good. Yeah, I know. After Flair was there, I know.
He made the money from all the divorces and alcohol.
That's true. And he still needs the alcohol. All right.
I know, if I was Shawn, I would have been pissed. I'm not going to lie. I just would have been pissed.
Because they wasn't retiring him fully?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, just me personally.
Yeah, but it was such an emotional time. I remember being really emotional. And like I said, I don't remember what we were doing. But I do remember his face and everything, so.
I'm not even sure if I watched that one with you.
Are you sure?
I'm not 100% sure. I think that might have been one that I didn't watch. I don't remember. Something tells me I didn't watch it.
Maybe. I know I watched it. Well, I've watched most Manias with you. I think
yeah,
it was maybe
I know.
Like,
I know, so it'd be weird if I didn't, but either way, I mean,
right.
It was, yeah. My number one is the start of what people may consider the greatest star WWE's ever had, and that would be Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Never mind, I lost his name. The short one that's Vince's son.
Hornswoggle?
Yeah, Hornswoggle.
Well,
the introduction to Hornswoggle.
I didn't go with that either, but I didn't. I went with Brett versus Austin because Shamrock was the guest referee making his debut. And the story they told was brilliant. It didn't matter that Austin lost. It didn't matter his face was covered in blood. What matters is that he didn't tap out. He just passed out from the pain. And Brett was such a bitter dickhead that he couldn't let it go.
Yes.
And that was Brett come true to fucking life, as we now know. Brett really is that guy.
He is.
He can't let shit go. He is so bitter. And that's exactly the character he portrayed 20 years ago. My God. We're at WrestleMania 34. So WrestleMania 13 is when that happened.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And that was just one of the all-time greatest. When you take in crowd reaction, story leading up to an in-ring action, the outcome, everything, I'm hard-pressed to say there's a better match. I know I'm not Cody, but, you know, I actually have a valuable opinion as well on wrestling. And to me, that's probably the pinnacle of wrestling. So that's my number one. And look at how great. Next year, Austin went on to go against HBK, got the torch passed. HBK retired for like 4.5 fucking years. Mike Tyson, Attitude Era, Stone Cold, Fox Fear, Drink Beer.
Yeah, and it definitely was the start of that. I really wanted to put it in, but when we talked about it, obviously, we want to try to keep our list as separate as possible. I don't know if I'd put it at number one for me because I didn't watch it live at that point. I was still a year away before I really started watching wrestling.
Weren't at my house for that?
Nope. The first year I remember, our first WrestleMania room together was WrestleMania with Stone Cold beating HBK. That was our first WrestleMania.
Oh, so that was the very next year.
Yes.
Wow. I remember I had Erica, Brianne, McCumber, Johnny Frazier all on my twin size bed with me. And then the floor had like four or five other occupants. So I'm sitting here being like, who the fuck else? Chris had to have been there. Handy, I'm guessing.
There was a WrestleMania. No, it wasn't WrestleMania. There's something near your birthday that we all stayed for. That's, I'm remembering just like that, on your bed, a bunch of people on your bed. But it wasn't WrestleMania. It was near your birthday.
I mean, my fucking room was not big, and we crammed a lot of people. So I remember, because that was the year that also had Legion of Doom and Ahmed Johnson against the Nation of Domination in a Chicago street fight. And it was also the year that Taker fought Sid, and Sid may or may not have shit himself.
Oh, yeah. That's a great decision. We should have put that as number one.
Good shit.
Literally.
Yes. Yes, indeed. we've just exercised the power of positivity. I mean, WrestleMania can be a great thing when done right.
Well, absolutely, 100%.
But then there's been the past decade.
Not only the past decade, but yes, the last decade has really produced some stinkers.
The last decade has consistently produced worse WrestleManias than the previous decade. It's weird how that works.
Hopefully it breaks with this year's, because again, just looking at some of the matches, it's looking good. But there are some matches that scare the shit out of me too. So,
I agree. All right, should we go on to the honorable mentions?
Let's do the honorable mentions of the worst decisions in WWE. Now, before we do that, can we talk about something that we, like, most people would consider a bad, but we consider hilarious? Or do you want to hold off on that?
Go ahead, Russ.
Okay. I know a lot of people would consider this bad, but Ken and I found this hilarious, and we can't consider it bad. It was a dumb decision, 100%. 100% a dumb decision. But the entertainment value gotten from this makes it all worthwhile. So I just want to mention this, because it has to be mentioned. Bart Gunn versus Butterbean in the Brawl for All, not championship, just his just being able to fight each other. The dumbest thing ever. I mean, you're giving a person who has absolutely no boxing skills up against a trained professional. And the results were exactly what you would expect. A 30-second, I don't even know if it was even 30 seconds, to be honest with you, clean knockout.
It's not like it was like Dan Severn that made it, because Dan Severn's a legit fighter and it could have possibly gone somewhere. Or Mark Merrow, who actually was like a Golden Glove boxer.
Golden Glove boxer, yes.
No, it was just Bart fucking Gunn, half of the Smoking Guns. Winner of Brawl for It All, one of the worst things that WWE ever came up with. I believe Steve brought that up in the podcast where we talked about worst gimmicks.
Yes.
It was either you or him. One of you two.
Someone brought it up, but it was bad, yeah.
And the prize was to fight Butterbean. Now, here's what I know. Since that night, Brawl for It All's never been talked about again. Bart Gunn's never been talked about again. And I don't think I've ever heard a damn thing about Butterbean ever again. So, kudos all around for that fucking amazing decision that we were recording and we had to stop rewinding it.
We stopped recording or went and did something else. I don't remember exactly how we did it. Because we watched the rest of the show.
I think we decided that we were going to record the whole thing later, like on the replay.
Yeah, on the replay. Just stopped it so we could watch it. We must have watched that for probably 10 minutes.
And Craig was cracking up a lot, I remember.
Yes. I think we were all, the first few times we watched it, the first time watching it, I remember, we're all just sitting there kind of shocked. Then we just broke out into laughter. And we were like, oh my God, rewind it. And we did. And
it was like the shock value that you got from Hell in a Cell with Taker and Mankind, except you didn't really fear for this man's life, but you laughed at his pain.
Oh, hilarious. I remember we only watched it. It was 10 minutes, but there was a good minute and a half where we just couldn't do anything except laugh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I just remember, and like at the end, when it wasn't getting funny. It was getting less and less funny. We stopped for a little bit. I remember, and we started getting like, okay, let's go back to the show, or whatever we were at that point. And then Craig just went back and played it again a couple more times, and it was back to being hilarious. So,
yep. All right. Let's get on to honorable mentions since we're almost at the 9:30 mark.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. See, I told you we would.
Yeah. All right. WrestleMania 1, Jimmy Snuka, not in a match, but he did kill somebody, so that's okay. WrestleMania 2, this almost made my list because they did three arenas in one night. So imagine how bored, like, we remember Raw 25, how bored the crowds got. Three arenas, three main events, one of them being King Kong Bundy versus Hogan in a steel cage, which was awful. Mm. Another one being an NFL plus wrestler 20-man battle royal, which was awful.
Awful.
Like, it was just a terrible show all in all. And they also had to have six commentators plus guests. And it's just, don't ever watch WrestleMania 2 or WrestleMania 4. Just do yourself that fucking favor. Also, avoid WrestleMania 12, I believe. Mm. WrestleMania 3. Pretty much all of WrestleMania 3, except for Steamboat versus Savage and Andre and Hogan Slam. I mean,
right.
I just summed up the whole Mania. WrestleMania 4. I'm just double-checking what I have on my list. WrestleMania 4 is on my list. Moving on. WrestleMania 5. 14 matches. Out of those 14, 3 of them were good. 3 of them lasted under 4 minutes. Hogan versus Macho Man? Not that very good. WrestleMania 6. The Warrior Hogan one. That was the year that Piper was facing a guy named Bad News Brown, who was a black guy, and Piper came out in blackface, half blackface.
Back in the day, it was okay.
No, it wasn't considered okay then. Yeah, that's the impressive part. But Piper just laughed it off, and he thought, you know, hey, I'm from Canada, and we don't have many black guys, so this is funny. Like, seriously, I read the interview. Like, that's the gist of it. It's amazing. Mr. Perfect lost his undefeated streak to a guy named Brutus the Barber fucking Beefcake.
Mm.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man, fought Jake, and they had a count out. Like, there's just so many things that Rick Rude and Snuka had a match that was only 4 minutes. 7 out of 14 matches were under 5 minutes. Think about that. That's pretty fucked up, man. And for as much positive as you want to give to the Hogan versus Warrior match, one thing I didn't choose to bring up until now, If you go back and watch that, Hogan does everything in his power to steal the spotlight back. Like, he's, like, trying to, like, make sure, hey, everybody, know that I'm giving Warrior the belt. I'm just going to hold it a few more seconds. Okay, everybody see this, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Such a dick.
Yeah, that was.
All right, number WrestleMania 7, Sergeant Slaughter getting death threats.
Mm.
That was really bad on their part.
It was.
Also, Jake the Snake versus Rick Martel in a blindfold match, which we all hate blindfold matches, so that happened.
Yep.
WrestleMania 8, Flair versus Savage didn't get to go on last. Instead, it was Hogan versus Sid.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, Tito Santana versus HBK didn't even hit like the 10-minute mark for some reason. WrestleMania 9, the one in Caesar's Palace, one of the all-time worst things. As I said, when Taker versus Giant Gonzalez is your most entertaining thing, that's a bad fucking night, okay? Really, really bad. Plus, that was the night that Brett had Yoko. Brett lost to Yoko. Then Hogan comes out and is like, no, I'll take you on, Yoko. And like 28 seconds later, he wins.
I do not. I was really... I wanted to put that on there, but again, it was before my time, so it didn't really affect me. But it was a terrible decision. What the hell were they thinking? Why would they do that?
It was all to placate Hogan, and the worst part is then to make up for it next year, instead of having Lex Luger beat Yoko and then have Luger versus Brett, which is what they set up at Rumble, they decide that they screwed Yoko the previous year, so they had Yoko beat Luger, so then Yoko could job to Brett.
Right.
It was like, to get his win back. Everybody got fucked out of this whole situation.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And then Hogan left, like, not any much longer after that, right?
Hogan left after WrestleMania 9 to go WCW and film Thunder in Paradise. Yeah.
Good decisions all around.
Wait, is this one of your things? This is one of your things, so I'm going to leave that alone. WrestleMania 11. Only 7 matches. And the longest match had Diesel in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, buddy. But also had, I think that was the year I had Pam Anderson and Jenny McCarthy. So that helps slightly. And Salt and Peppa. WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match. We consider it one of the worst things that's ever happened.
I know we're in the minority of this, but it was boring as fuck.
Boring. And the ending was like they were just making shit up on the fly. That's what pissed me off a lot. Also, Taker versus Diesel should have been a great match, but instead Nash was like, I'm going to WCW making millions. I do not give a fuck. So he put in no effort.
Right.
That match should have been good. WrestleMania 13, Taker versus Sid. Sid shit himself, potentially. as I mentioned, Ahmed Johnson, LOD versus Nation of Domination. And Rocky Maivia beating the Sultan, better known as Rikishi, in a very terrible Intercontinental Championship match. WrestleMania 14, Taker versus Kane, first time, should have been a great match. Fucking awful. Awful, awful, awful. Mark Merrill versus Goldust, absolutely awful as well. WrestleMania 15, pre-match, D'Lo Brown and Test win a battle royal to become number one tag team contenders, and then 3 matches later, they lost later that night. Yeah. Like, you build up this excitement, the crowd was into it, and then they just go and out and job to Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart. A lot of good matches, not a lot of time, plus Bart versus Butterbean.
Woo!
Number 16, Austin's injured, so we had the clusterfuck 4-way main event, where every McMahon was represented by Big Show, Triple H, Rock, and Foley.
Yes.
And Triple H won. And
not a surprise.
Just not a good show, aside from the 3-way tag match that you brought up. Number 17, considered great. An issue I wanted to pick apart was Vince versus Shane got over 14 minutes, and the gimmick Battle Royal happened, and China destroyed Ivory in under 3 minutes.
Mm.
Jericho versus Regal only got 7 minutes. Test versus Eddie only got 8.5 minutes. Just some underutilization when you get Vince versus Shane 14 minutes. But, yeah. 18. Do you have this? Shit, I'm looking. No, you do not have this. I don't have it either? No. Okay. Triple H versus Jericho.
Mm.
And not only did Jericho not get over, which was, like, him and Stephanie were doing great things. Triple H didn't even matter in that fucking feud.
Right.
But that had to go on after Rock versus Hogan, which made it seem so much worse.
So much worse.
So, yeah, that happened. WrestleMania 19 will get talked about soon. Also, though, Taker versus Big Show and Albert happened, unfortunately. Hogan versus Vince got over 20 minutes, and Brock almost killed himself.
Yes.
Number 20, and this is one of the more dishonorable mentions. So I feel we should discuss this briefly. Brock versus Goldberg. When the fans knew both guys were leaving.
I almost wanted to talk about this because they made such a big deal out of it friggin' last year. And I'm just like, that first match was goddamned awful. Both guys were leaving, and it was main evented, right?
It wasn't the main event. It was actually right in the middle. Austin was a special guest referee.
Oh, right. And the only good thing about it was Austin giving some stunners at the end, kind of to...
Yeah, to kind of make the fans feel okay about life, because they were pissed.
Yeah, they were booing. I remember that. Holy crap, how much were they booing?
That was one of the angriest crowds outside of Royal Rumble, like, 4 years ago.
Yes.
In Philly.
Yes.
Moving on. Actually, though, WrestleMania 20 was great, aside from that Brock match, Brock and Goldberg match. Even, like, the women's matches were kept short, so... All in all, pluses, because women's mat wrestling kind of sucked, because I don't think Trish was healthy at the time.
Right.
21, Big Show versus Aki Bono.
I don't remember that. Oh, I do remember that. Never mind, that was terrible. That
sumo match where Big Show had to squeeze his fat out. Yeah. That lasts for a minute and 2 seconds, so I can't bitch about it, but Great Mania. Number 22, Ray versus Randy versus Kurt Angle. That's a great fucking match, all in their prime, or Randy was probably a little early. Only got 11 minutes and 28 seconds. Yeah. Meanwhile, Cena versus Triple H had entrances that lasted longer than that match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm necessarily joking, because that was the year that Cena came out with, like, the gangsters, like the Chicago-style gangsters.
Oh, yeah,
Triple
H had, forever.
Like, Shao Kahn, I think, maybe that year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think their entrances lasted longer. Yeah. The Attitude Era was kind of fading then, and you can tell the matches weren't quite there. Taker versus Mark Henry in a casket match sucked. JBL versus Benoit sucked. And this was a big one. This almost made my list. Boogeyman defeated Booker T. That happened.
Wow.
And Shawn Michaels, one of his last years wrestling, was wasted in the Shawn versus Vince McMahon, possibly with God on his side. I don't know if that was
that match. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was that one.
Number 23, The Great Khali pinned Kane. That's about the worst thing I have to say about that year. WrestleMania 23, good one.
Great one, yeah.
24, Floyd Mayweather, Big Show. I absolutely hated that angle.
Me too.
I know some people think it was brilliant. I hated it. I don't know. Also, even kind of worse, Randy Orton beat John Cena and Triple H in 14 minutes and 10 seconds. How's that match go that... like?
Little.
You go 20-some minutes, you would expect, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Number 25, two main events were Triple H beating Randy and Cena beating Edge and Big Show. This is where fans started saying, we are sick of this shit, and that was at WrestleMania 25, and here we are.
We're still 9 years later.
Yeah, we're still doing the same old shit, man. Rey Mysterio over JBL in 21 seconds. I believe that was JBL's last match. Too short. Just go a little longer, at least. 21 seconds. 26, I already complained about Swagger not cashing in Money in the Bank.
Right.
After the Jericho and Edge match. Cena and Batista. That was the year Randy defeated Cody and Ted, and I thought that Cody should have gotten the rub there. It would have made Cody seem like Randy didn't need the rub.
No.
But now that we know Cody has terrible taste in wrestling, I'm okay with it. Rey Mysterio pinned Punk. There was just a lot of weird booking going on. That was the year of really weird booking. Number 27, you have something in there. A lot of short matches. Edge versus Del Rio for the world title got 11 minutes. Cody versus Rey got 12. Randy versus Punk got 15. And that was also the year that Miz got outshined by The Rock, because The Rock was The Rock, and The Miz was just the world champion.
World champion, right.
28, Kane pinned Randy Orton for some reason. Still don't understand that decision. I will never understand that decision. It just made no sense at the time. That was also the year of I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. The rematch that nobody wanted was the very next year. Rock versus Cena, the build-up for the first one was fine, and the match was okay. Nobody wanted that second match, I don't think. But we got it. Oh, that was like Brock versus Triple H, and that was a shit show. Alberto versus Swagger was actually a World Heavyweight Championship match on that card.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, me neither. Mark Henry versus Ryback. Shield versus Big Show, Randy, and Sheamus, because that's a team, apparently. Team Hell No versus Dolph and Big E. That sounds like a great match, right?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, now, 6 minutes and 18 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. But hey, he's coming
home. Yeah, he's coming home.
Oh, and also this was when Miz was a face for like a year, and he beat Barrett for the Intercontinental belt. Number 30, well, that's on my list for many reasons. The Shield fought Kane and the New Age Outlaws, though. That's what I have to add to that. 31. Lots of things on this one. Big Show beating Damian Sandow in the second ever Andre the Giant Memorial. We were watching it. We said Sandow should have gotten
it. Should have gotten it. Yep. Bad decision.
32. This isn't on your list? No. I think this is a bad decision. I figured we'd discuss this quickly. Jericho over AJ Styles. AJ's first Mania.
Yeah, oh
was
yeah.
Was it the right call? I don't think it was.
No, because he hasn't won a Mania yet, has he?
He beat Shane last year.
Did he beat Shane? I thought Shane beat him.
No, Shane beat him. Or, no, AJ beat Shane. But AJ's on the verge of going 1-2 in Manias.
Yeah, because I don't think he's winning this year. That doesn't make sense if he wins. Not that I care if he does, but...
Right. That year, Charlotte beat Becky and Bayley.
The start of a dynasty, my friend.
Yeah. Brock faced Dean Ambrose, and that was the match where Brock said, I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
So he didn't try at all.
Yes.
Shane jumped off the Hell in a Cell, landed on a big cushion that they didn't hide so well.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was bad.
The Rock, I forgot about this. The Rock had a match with Eric Rowan.
Really? Yeah, oh, that's right. It was impromptu, right?
Yeah, like less than like 30 seconds. But hey, at least Eric Rowan can be like, I had the last match with The Rock.
That's true. He has.
Yeah. I remember this very specifically, and I wanted to bring it up because you were sitting in the chair and you were falling asleep, and that's when the entrances for Roman versus Triple H started because they were so over their time limit already, but they said, fuck it. And then last year, I don't think I have anything from last year. You don't?
Nope.
No. Okay, so last year, Roman over Taker, Randy over Bray, with the insects in the ring, Cena and Nikki over Miz and Maryse.
Hold on.
Returning.
The Bray and Randy was terrible, don't get me wrong, but...
Bray only had 1 month run.
Wasn't it hilarious as hell, though, when we saw that? Like, what the hell are they doing?
It was horrible, too, though.
It was terrible. You're right. It was terrible.
Like, Aries lost to Neville. Baron jobbed to Dean. Like, that was just one of the worst, most miserable WrestleManias. So, with all that negativity, we still have each five.
And we both didn't talk about one. Can we talk about this? Or just, I don't know if you put it on your list, so maybe I'll wait. Maybe you put it on your list.
Who's involved? Just name one person, and I'll tell you.
Bret Hart.
Bret. No, I don't have anything.
Nothing with Bret? Okay. I'm surprised neither of us are mentioning Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon.
I put that as a positive because, like,
it was
like therapeutic in some way, but it was a shit match.
Yeah, it was such a bad... Like, I get where you're going with the therapeuticness. A lot of people have probably felt that, but it was bad. That happened 10 years too... Not 10 years too late, but like 8 years too late.
Yeah, I don't think I think you're splitting hairs here between 8 and 10 years.
True. Good point.
Yeah, it was far too late.
Yeah. Point B, it was far too late. All right, so with that said, why don't we talk about our top five worst moments in wrestling? All right. My number five to me, isn't a terrible offender, but it was a bad decision. Having LT versus Bam Bam as the main event, and here's why it's a bad decision. It has led to so many other where celebrity and part-time, not that Bam Bam was part-time at that point, but celebrity and part-time take precedence over the guys who've been working for you year in and year out. That, to me, was kind of the start of that. I'm not saying Shawn Michaels Diesel's was anywhere near some five-star quality match here, but or even a 9.2 in the more important scale. But to me, it was just bad taste. LT had never wrestled in his life, and he gets to main event WrestleMania and win. Fantastic.
Yeah, it did set a bad precedent. It was weird because at no point ever prior to that match or after that match did you say Bam Bam's a main event player. Now, Bam Bam was great.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a bad match.
He was portrayed as the main eventer.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a bad match.
Match was actually the best match on that night, I think.
Which is sad, really. And maybe that's one of the reasons, but I just think it set such a poor precedent on part-time and celebrity is more important than the guys who got you there.
Plus, I also want to bitch quickly that Salt and Peppa performed What a Man, leading LT out to the ring, mm-hmm. and WWE Network has censored their performance out, and that pisses me off. Because I like Salt and Peppa, damn it.
I know. All right, Kent, what's your number five?
All right, my number five, I'm going to start with a question for you, Russ.
Okay.
Now imagine, if you were watching a match, and you saw a guy come out with lots of bright colors.
Okay.
And then you saw a man ride a tank to the ring. Who's naturally winning that match?
Well, usually
the brightly colored gentleman or the tank rider?
The man is usually in a tank would probably... You should win, right? If you come to the ring in a tank, you win. I think this has been mentioned several times.
I believe so, but at WrestleMania 31, the powers that be did not believe in the power of the tank. They believed the power in the merchandise. God, I was so mad over that decision.
That ruined your night, because it was one of the first matches, wasn't it?
It was one of the earlier matches, and Rusev was riding so high on, he had that nice win streak, and, it would have really helped solidify him. Like, the past 2 years, Rusev could have been a main event guy had he gotten that win.
Yeah.
All Cena had to do was just job for him, and it really could have possibly propelled Rusev instead. He was a jobber in the League of Nations.
It's taken him a long time to get back to where he was. I mean, kudos to WWE making the right decision. Again, WWE showing they're making a good booking decision by putting Rusev in the United States Championship match now, Fatal 4-Way.
That surprised me.
Because you called it last week. Well, you hoped for it last week, and you got it. It makes sense. It's better than wasting him on the Battle Royal, because Rusev Day has been huge. Huge.
Plus, he's been putting on really good matches the past month and a half.
Absolutely.
With AJ, Shinsuke, Bobby. All those matches have been good.
They're really pushing him to be I feel like they're priming him to be a top heel again.
I'm now wondering if he's winning the match, quite frankly.
Honestly, I think he is.
I think there's a big possibility. Imagine that crowd will go fucking apeshit. That might be the second biggest pop of the night.
Yeah, if he wins it. We'll see. There's a lot of other things that could possibly go on.
All right, number four for you?
Number four for me. And this is just a stupid thing because I remember hating this match so much only because of the beginning. And it was a guy coming out in some kind of chicken friggin' outfit. Our headdress. Yes. In the song he came out to, I remember how bad it was when it went, Booyaka, Booyaka, 619. It was horrible. That was the worst entrance I have seen that they gave for about, it was almost 5 friggin' minutes, too. Just...
Wasn't that POD that performed it?
Yes, yes. And it
and
was
they're
just
a terrible band. I don't like them.
Oh, it was so bad, and you couldn't understand anything except for Booyaka Booyaka 619.
In all fairness, though, because that happened earlier in the night, we had a night full of Booyakas at the expense of terrible wrestling.
I was going to say, here is the shiny light on that. How many times that night did we go Booyaka Booyaka 6-1 in the years after? That's the only redeeming quality. Because for years, every time something just went bad, you look at me and go, Booyaka Booyaka 6-1 died.
Yeah, I mean, that's the silver lining of that fucking terrible, terrible moment in time.
So, that was my number four. Kat, what's yours?
Appropriately going number four, I'm going to go back to WrestleMania 4. The night of the tournament that never ended. And the matches had a 10-minute time limit, and most of them went far below that. And we're talking quality wrestlers. But on the cover, as a kid, I was always like, oh, Andre versus Hogan, that had to be a hell of a match. No, that was just a second-round match because they both got byes. And they fought against each other. They put them on the same side of the bracket, and then it ended in double DQ.
Which made no sense.
So, like, that was in the middle of the card, but that was the main event. It was the single worst single-night tournament in wrestling history that I can recall. And they were proud of it. They were proud of this shit. And it was bad.
I think it's universally known as bad now, too.
Yeah, not only that, but I feel so bad. That was Macho Man's first ever world championship, and he's nowhere on the fucking cover.
Mm.
So, Macho Man versus DiBiase, main evented. That was a pretty damn good match. I'll give them credit, but what a shit show of a night. So, number four, WrestleMania 4.
All right. My number three, and then again, this is kind of like, I don't know if this was a setting of precedent, but it was just a really bad decision to have it on the card. Michael Cole versus King. Stone Cold, I believe, was the guest referee at that point, I want to say.
I believe so.
Yeah. This was stupid. It took away, again, taking away time from talent that actually deserved it.
It was one of the longest matches of the night.
And yes, that's the other thing. It lasted at least, I want to say 13 minutes around there. 13 minutes. Yeah, 13 minutes too fucking long. It was awful. And it really killed the night for me.
But come on, Russ. It was Jerry Lawler's very first WrestleMania match. He had to have won, right?
You'd think so. But no, he did not.
So, a legend,
yes,
a Hall of Famer, lost to a commentator.
Commentator who's never wrestled before, other than in stupid bits where they made him wrestle. Yes, it was friggin' awful, Kent. Awful.
Yeah, it was actually going to be my number four, but once you told me that you had, I was just like, ah, fuck, I'll make fun of WrestleMania 4.
Well, that was a good one, because you know what? If you weren't going to do the tournament, I was, even though that wasn't before my time. I remember, I still don't get it. Coming back, looking at it, I tried watching it, and I'm like, this is fucking stupid, and it was just done with it.
Yeah. My number three, well, we're going right back to the tank riding WrestleMania because there was another match that particular evening that also happened. An icon returned to the ring finally. And he was making his second ever WWF match.
Certainly. And
he came out to some kabuki shit for some reason.
Which was odd.
I liked it.
Yeah.
And Triple H said no. No, sir. We've wanted you for years, and now that you have a chance in the ring with me, I am not going to let you win. So Triple H versus Sting with the NWO and the DX bullshit. Like, there was no reason with all that shit that Triple H couldn't have just taken the pin. Like,
because
like, it was a silly match. It got silly.
Yeah.
So he could have just ate the loss, and everybody would have been happy. Like, no purpose was served.
That's one of those matches. And you're right. Nothing happened afterwards. That's the worst part. When the match ends the whole thing, it should be a happy ending with the face winning it. If that's where it's going to just end.
If it's going to end, or if you're going to make progress, you have the heel win to progress it.
Right.
But if there's no progress, then you make Sting. Why could they not just give it to Sting? Like, it was such a fuck you to WCW and everything.
It was. Complete.
It was pure self-serving, egomaniacal bullshit.
Vince does that way too often, and it's coming up again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, so far, out of my top five, two came from the same WrestleMania. I wonder if that will happen.
I never can. I don't think there's any more that can possibly come from that WrestleMania.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. All right. My number two. You know what's funny? I know what we're going to be talking about at the end. But these next three are so far apart from each other. Like, two, there's two, and then my number one, just because the other number one had to be taken out, is so much worse than this number two. But it's then the worst, yeah, and then the worst thing is even way worse than that. Like, it jumps incredibly here. All right?
It does. I agree with you.
Okay, so here's my number two. My number two was, again, I have a theme going on here if you haven't noticed. The BS booking of your talent. And this one was Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. What a shit show. They got 17 fucking seconds. It was literally, and I remember this so well. He came out there, Daniel got distracted by AJ Lee, turns around, gets brogue kicked, and pinned within 17 seconds. And that was the same night so many other garbage matches got so much more time. And these guys here, who work, I believe, I saw main event guys versus these guys. These guys together worked 436 matches in the year, that year. The main event guys, I think, totaled 20 matches. What a fucking travesty. And here's why I really remember it. It was the first WrestleMania that I came back to watching wrestling. Like, I just started watching wrestling right before it again. Before that, I would go to WrestleMania just to go to your house because that's what we always did. It was tradition. But I hadn't watched wrestling all year. I'd finally started getting back into watching wrestling. I really liked the Sheamus-Daniel stuff going on here. They're both new to me. They're both new to me, and I'm excited by them. And this happens.
They were both fairly new, and like only been around 2 years in WWE,
right?
Most,
yeah. And it was, I just started watching, and it was really exciting. And this, honestly, that match made me hate Sheamus forever. It took, honestly, to Cesaro and him teaming up to me finally warming back up to Sheamus the way I should have been a long time ago.
Ah, fella. Let's not discount the fact that this was the opening match.
Yeah,
on this main card,
and it was for the WWE Championship.
It was absolutely insulting to the belt.
Yep.
It was absolutely insulting to the competitors. It was absolutely insulting to the audience. It was just absolutely insulting to every single person involved. And here's what WWE would say. Hey, you remember it, don't you?
Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
yeah, for all the wrong fucking reasons, assholes.
The reasons I hate you.
Yeah.
All right, Kent, what's your number two?
This one hits near and dear to me.
Okay.
There was a WrestleMania in the House of the Rising Sun in New Orleans.
This is going to be a recurring theme.
What? No. Maybe. And a certain gentleman from New Orleans was about ready to make his big WrestleMania debut, and his name was Bray Wyatt. And he was taking on a guy who wears bright colors.
What?
Yeah. We've talked about this guy before.
We have talked about him before.
And, God, this one match could have, once again, made Bray Wyatt, cemented him as a legit main event. It could have cemented the Wyatt family. But, no. I mean, they even used a fucking Eminem song. They've never used an Eminem song before. They used an Eminem song to promote this fucking match. And I was so excited because I was like, there's no way they're going to fuck Bray over. No way. And then I was like, holy shit. I don't think I could possibly be more shocked. And I was right.
I think. For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, John Cena, for back-to-back years ruining Bray and Rusev's careers. Appreciate it. Retire, you old fuck. Go do your shitty cock block movie. I don't care. I don't want to see your fucking movies. I don't find you funny. I don't find you entertaining. Get the fuck off my screen. Take your shovel, shove it up your fucking ass, then shove it up Triple H's ass, and hopefully one of you get a goddamn STD. Go fuck yourselves.
But I can't wait for Cena Taker. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait either. Until the shovel comes out.
Right, right, right. All right. That leads us to our number one. And I don't think there's any question to anybody. We both have the same number one.
Yeah, because this is something we've been talking about. And when it happened, we couldn't believe it.
It was the beginning of the downfall of my interest in wrestling starting to wane. It took several more years, but this is where I learned wrestling isn't always best for business. Sometimes it's about...
Best for business? Who would say something like that?
I know, right? It's more about best for whatever the fuck the leaders want. All right, Ken, go ahead. I'll let you...
Well, as we learned, nepotism's funny. So is racism, apparently. This was right around the same year that Vince McMahon came up to John Cena and dropped an N-bomb on Raw.
Yes.
That happened. There was once a feud, and this was the year after Triple H versus Jericho. Yep. A new challenger to take on the King of Kings. His name was Booker T. The five-time world champion of WCW. And he needed that one push, just that one last push, because he was pretty cemented with WWF fans, but not all of them knew him.
They were excited by him, though. He was a huge baby face going in.
He was so charismatic, so talented, so athletic, had a great look. But part of that look was being black.
Yep.
WWE doesn't necessarily like black world champions. And nope. Before there was a brightly dressed man, there was
the game.
And his shovel.
Actually, more like a hammer, but it was definitely...
Oh, yeah. Fucking Shao Kahn, motherfucker.
Yes.
And Booker T, like, think about it. He never recovered, really.
Never recovered.
Like, he did. For, like, 6 months as King Booker.
Yes, but that was way after. Three years.
A little too late.
Yeah, it was 3 years after.
Minimally, and he lost a lot of his athleticism, in all honesty,
yep.
by then.
Yeah.
I hate to say.
The prime time to have Booker T win that match. I remember being dumbfounded on how dumb this decision was. Booker T was the biggest... People were eating him up. It was so set up. Triple H was doing everything, like, the biggest, baddest heel asshole moves you could possibly do. Giving Booker T the shine he needed.
Like, he asked Booker T to carry, like, drive his limo and carry his bags. Like, Triple H played that whole roll up perfectly.
It was
perfect.
It was so perfect. And it was leading to you to go, Booker T's going to get himself from vengeance. Because that's exactly what they were telling the story for. And then, nope. Booker T doesn't win the match. And that's when Booker T just fell off everything until about, you know, when he became King Booker. Granted, he got injured, I believe, too. But still, that's not the point.
No, because he was healthy for a good chunk of that year.
The most of it, he was, right. Most of the time, he was healthy. And they ruined it. He never got to that height again, ever.
Like, if they would just give him, like, a four-month run, even, just something to vindicate that story,
yeah.
It would have done wonders for him.
The story, the way it ended, it really pissed me off. Like, the story was... It was so set up as a wrestling story. And yes, okay, ooh, they twisted it, but it was a wrong twist. It was absolutely not the time to do a big old twist.
M. Night Shyamalan was disgraced by this twist.
Yes, yes, exactly. Devastatingly bad. Like, this is the beginning of the end for me for wanting. I was watching... It started my wane for watching wrestling. It wasn't over with for several years after, but it's when I stopped.
Yeah, I understand. There was a bad time.
Yep.
So, what you and I are saying is that this was clearly the number one worst thing that ever happened to WrestleMania. And that's what the fans think. But there's something so...
Much worse.
Evil.
Yes.
So inherently sinister that happened that it supersedes whatever any number can convey.
Absolutely.
It was the one thing that we... For years, for decades.
It was our thing, yeah.
Yeah, we said this would never happen. This shouldn't happen.
Not unless it was to a newcomer.
Right. Not until
or an up-and-comer. But
when the time was right.
Yep.
And the build-up indicated nothing. The build-up told us, oh, business as usual, okay. And then it happened. We're going back, friends, to New Orleans. No, I'm not referring to this year. I'm going back to WrestleMania 30. The fucking streak.
Best thing in WrestleMania history.
The greatest thing that possibly they could offer, the greatest single push they had to offer, because they built it up for 2 decades. They built this shit up. So whoever was going to get it was going to be fucking golden. They were going to be the golden boy for another decade. So they just need to find the right young guy. And along comes this young buck.
Young Brock buck? Lesner. Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
New. I never heard of him before that match.
No. Why would you have? He didn't almost kill himself at WrestleMania 19 11 years prior.
He almost didn't win the champion several times before that. Championship before that. He also didn't go to become a MMA championship. No. Never heard of him.
Right. He wasn't the biggest draw in UFC for like 2 or 3 years.
Right. No. Nothing. No,
he needed this rub. And I've never sat there in such disbelief in my entire life watching anything on TV. I've never sat in such shock.
How bad was that? That wasn't the final match either, was it?
Oh God, no!
Because we had to sit through the rest. I remember the rest of the pay-per-view. We were dejected.
Which is probably why I don't remember Daniel Bryan versus Randy and Batista, because I was checked out.
Yep.
Checked.
Oh, that's right. That was the greatest ending ever. One of the greatest endings ever. You're right. Totally overshadowed.
Yeah, it's like it was bookended. Like Daniel and Triple H, I think, kicked it off, and they had Daniel win at the end. Bookended the Bray and Cena thing, and Taker and Brock.
Wow. And
it was like the best of times, and it was the worst.
Definitely
of
the worst. I don't. You're right. It ruined the best. One of the best decisions WWE came up with. That was awful. I just remember sitting there like, that didn't. They're gonna call it back. That he didn't get his hand down. They're gonna send a ref down. Nothing. And now we're what, 4 years past it?
Still dwelling.
And it still hurts, right here.
Yep. But it's not the right.
But it didn't do anything. It's ruined everything that's led up to it, because it wasn't given to somebody who deserved it. We don't give a shit about
Brock. They've already hoarded it back off to fucking Roman. Like,
right. Even giving it to Roman, if they at least... I could have been more acceptable of Roman than Brock.
Well, I mean, they did Taker versus Bray. Bray was a suitable human being to have taken the streak.
Yep. Well, I think we were both okay with Bray getting it, too. I think we were like, okay, this is a good one to do it with.
Yeah, because he had good pedigree and everything. Pedigree. I remember Biddy was over. She hadn't watched wrestling in years, and she had no idea what was happening in that room other than hell was freezing over.
Yes. Because we were so confident, too, like, Triple A, Brock's not losing this. Brock's losing this. We're waiting. Because we're waiting, and all of a sudden we see those 3 F5s and the 1, 2, 3, and we're, like, sitting there just... That didn't just fucking happen.
I felt nauseous. Like, my stomach hurt. Like, I had pain. Like, weird emotional pain.
I was pissed. And looking back at it, what a dumb decision. It did nothing except ruin the streak. And
right. Brock Lesnar is no better off now. If he would have lost, he wouldn't be any worse off.
Nobody would have even said anything. No, if he had lost. He'd still be champion right now. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was stupid. So dumb. And here's the worst part. We talked about this. People would say, well, it's not the streak isn't about the streak. It's about the great matches. Bullshit. Half of Taker's matches in WrestleMania were fucking awful.
What? Fucking you mean against awful. Him versus Giant Gonzalez, Jimmy Snuka, Jake Roberts,
Triple
Mark
H,
Henry,
the first time?
Kane 1 and 2, Triple H 1 and 2. Oh, my God. Albert, Big Show. Yeah, there's a
lot of them were shit. And so it's not about the matches. Yes, the matches, as they got farther and farther along, became great, but that's because the story built up was 23 years in the making.
It's kind of like, you know, everybody overlooks some of the really shitty runs that Ric Flair had as world champion, but the number mattered. 16
right,
mattered.
16, yeah.
Even like if four of his runs were complete dog shit, nobody cared. It was the number and it was the record. And though a brightly clothed man, God damn it, he keeps coming up and
does
negative things. Can't wait for him versus Taker.
Mm.
All right, we should do. We should finish this up.
We have yes, we should move. All right, this was good. I thought we really got some good stuff here. All right, let's finish this up. But before we do that, Kent, we need to talk about. I'm not finished with you yet. All right, a little Braun Strowman.
That was awkward.
It was. I didn't know how to say it. I screwed it up. My bad. Let me try that again. Kent, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. I'm not finished with you yet.
Oh, tell me more. What does it entail?
Well, this is what it entails. Every week, we always talk about what we're looking forward to next week. And I'm not going to lie to you, Kent. I'm looking forward to a lot of things next week. But I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is how the hell they're going to build up this Shane Daniel versus Kevin Owens and Sammy. Because right now,
do you think Shane's making the match? First of all, like, is his health problems
as
legit?
Yes. Okay. Well, okay. I don't know for a fact if they're legit, but
I think they are.
They're pulling it as it is. And if it's diverticulitis, whatever it is.
Diverticulitis, which his father has, and
yes.
I have, and Brock Lesnar has.
Which is, it sucks.
It is incredibly painful, but if you watch your diet, it can be okay, but there's varying degrees of it.
Right, right. So maybe he's got the lighter end of it, because they seem, because Daniel did come out last night and say that Shane will be back.
I just want to say this, and I read it in the blog that isn't finished, but I read Harper's response. She had this great idea. What if Shane couldn't make it, and Daniel had a surprise tag team partner, and for one night only, we got to hear Cult of Personality and brought it back like it was 2013 all over fucking again. Would that not get the greatest, like, you'd have the greatest response not only from the Daniel Bryan reaction, but then to hear that song and to see that man return. That may be an all-time WrestleMania moment.
I would say that would be one of the greatest WrestleMania moments if they kept it quiet and secret that he was coming back. It's never happening. We all know.
No, never happening.
So,
I'd rather see Daniel with a different partner than Shane, though.
Oh, yeah, me too, but
because Shane's only good for spots, and if he's not feeling well, doing spots isn't good.
No. Here's my only problem with this match. It's Daniel Bryan's first match back. You want him to win it, and then they put the stupid stipulation of them being fired. Okay, yeah, they can go to Raw, but honestly, KO and Sammy should stay on SmackDown. They're great
heels.
They should
be feuding with Daniel now. Like,
yeah.
This is good.
So they're not going to get their jobs back, because I can't see Daniel losing this, can you?
I mean, here's what I can see. WWE turning Daniel Bryan heel and aligning himself with KO and Sammy and completely ruining all the feel-good moment.
Oh, it would totally destroy it.
Yeah, like you can't see them doing that in New Orleans?
Oh, never mind. It's definitely happening.
Yeah, this shit's happening.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's going to happen? Shinsuke and AJ is only going to get about 2 minutes.
It's going to be the opening match.
Yeah, it's going to be the opening match. It's only going to be like 30 seconds. We're talking all the shit that can happen. It's going to happen.
Kinshasa right off the bat, and yep. AJ goes down. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
Two things. If we can get another Elias Sampson Snickers commercial, that didn't get enough credit this week, but that was fucking amazing.
I did not get it at first. I honestly thought it was part of WWE. And the Snicker part, I was like, okay, that's good.
That was fucking brilliant.
That was.
And while I'm curious, I don't think Braun's going to reveal who his partner is. So the one thing that I'm mostly interested in is, will WWE pull the trigger on having Taker come back this Monday, or are they really just going to hold off until Mania?
I can't.
I think they're holding off.
I can't see them not holding off at this point. They have to.
It makes better sense. It builds more
builds
tension.
Builds way more
gullible.
Tension. Yeah, builds way more tension. It'd be great to have it where Cena comes out. He starts talking like, well, I guess I have to be a fan. And hell, even wait a match or two. Have him just sit out in the fan with the fans. Just sit out there. Have a match or two go on. Have him come back out and be like, well, this has been great. What do you guys think? And that's when it hits.
I mean, if they're not going to give Elias a match, I would say that would be the perfect time for Elias to come out, sing a song, and make fun of John Cena being in the crowd. And
yes.
Cena coming in, beating up Elias and then saying something, and then the gong. Like, I think that's the perfect set because Elias and Cena have history.
Yep.
I don't see what sense.
Maybe give
Elias,
them a little. You know what? You know? Give them a little bit of a fight. Give them a little bit of a fight. Not a match. Give them a fight. Like, they're back and forth a little bit. That way, Elias gets a little bit of something at WrestleMania.
Sure.
Have him get beat. That's fine. You need to have Cena win it if he's going to go against Taker that same night. But 5-10 minutes doesn't have to be great, but at least gets Elias out there. And then, gong.
Oh, 5-10 minutes. No, 3 minutes at most.
Okay. Five was probably what I was thinking was more close to the average. You're right.
You just want it short. I mean, because Elias is going to get his shine doing a song.
Yes.
And the crowd's going to be fucking crazy for it.
Yes.
You know, so Elias gets a shine, Cena gets his shine, and then Taker gets his shine, and then the shovel gets shined. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is how they book it. I'm really hoping they hold off.
I'm hoping they do too, but I just can't see them. That WWE's signature move is to blow their load, so.
So, quick question. Who is Braun Strowman's partner going to be?
I have no clue.
I mean, Elias was winning a Twitter poll.
Right, I thought Elias would be it, because just based off their feud. But at this point, it makes no sense to be Elias. They haven't set anything up for it.
How funny was on Raw when, I think it was Coachman said that, Elias said that he'd been talking to Braun as being a tag team partner, and then Corey was like, he said Ronda, not Braun.
Braun, yeah.
That shit cracked me up. So,
there was a lot of good commentary this week, but Michael Cole is really angry at Matt Hardy for some reason.
I like that they have every announcer has like a vendetta with somebody.
Yeah, they hate somebody. And it's like their own guys too, because Michael Cole, I would say, is the face commentator.
Yeah.
And Hardy's a face, but he hates him.
Yeah, and Corey's
a heel commentator, but he hates Elias.
Yeah. It's really funny how they set that up. I mean, and when Booker was on, he hated Titus worldwide.
Yeah. It makes, you know what it does? It actually makes it better. They're not always supporting the heels just because they're heels. Now they're supporting the heels because they're supposed to, but there's a couple of guys that really just irk us the wrong way, period.
Yeah, good guys are allowed to dislike each other. They don't like how they're goody guys. Like,
yeah.
Batman and Superman don't always get along.
Right, exactly.
And that's based on pure, real-world stuff.
Fact. That's right.
All right, let's get to our last segment.
Yeah, let's do the last thing, because we are going way too long. All right, and we always do. So, let's finish this off with everyone's favorite game. Guess that wrestler!
So, it's that now?
Yes.
Okay.
What was it before? Guess the Wrestler?
I don't believe so. It was always Guess the Wrestler, but yeah.
Guess the Wrestler! Okay, I guess that hasn't worked. I guess we'll go with that one. So, Guess the Wrestler. All right. So, each week, one of us chooses a wrestler, and the other ones have to guess. They get 9 questions and 2 chances to guess it right. But they get 2 freebies, and my 2 freebies is it's a male and retired.
Okay. I need to know what eras.
Phew. He had a long run. I'm going to say as early as 1986.
Holy shit.
The way until about 2003-4 is when we really stopped seeing him, but he went all the way to 2006.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so this, because Russ clearly looked up like WrestleMania 4 or something, saw somebody, is like, that's my pick.
I don't know that route, but.
Huh?
No, go on.
I'm not that far off on that, am I?
yeah, I think you are, but go ahead.
Okay.
If you want to know mostly, I would say pre-Attitude Era into Attitude Era, but kind of.
Okay. I think this is a fairly obvious one, but did he wrestle for both WWE and WCW?
100% yes.
Okay. Color hair.
Definitely black.
Okay. Was this guy good on the mic?
I want to say yes. But not someone you would necessarily was... You would, like, recognize being like, yeah, he's great. But I think he was decent on the mic. Like, he could talk.
Okay. Did this person ever... Like, what was the highest championship title that they held?
I would have to say that it was...
You would go, like, world title, then U.S. or Intercontinental, then tag team, I guess.
A world heavyweight championship. Do I have to tell you the...
You don't have to tell me anything else.
Okay. A world heavyweight championship, yes.
Okay. Russ, what federation did this person win the world heavyweight championship?
Hey, ECW. Fair. ECW.
Oh. Okay. Shit. You're saying ECW is an ECW.
Yep.
Do I have to waste the question and ask you if you mean WWE CW?
No. I will give it to you. It's ECW. It's
okay.
ECW. Shit. When I say ECW, I'm telling you it's ECW.
Was this person a member of like a famous family?
I don't think so, but I don't want to lie to you. So let me look.
Shit. Because I'm not looking up any ECW world champions.
No.
All right, basically it's not Terry Funk. That's the gist of where I'm going with this.
It's definitely not Terry Funk. I'll give you that one. I don't think so. I don't see anything about...
Okay. There really wasn't many famous people, like famous family people in ECW. That just didn't happen much. I'm ashamed to admit that I can't think of many ECW world champions. How many questions do I have left?
I've got you at... You've asked 6, technically.
Okay.
I have you at 5, but technically you asked 6, so...
Okay. Could you tell me what the first WrestleMania was that this person appeared in? What number?
Yeah, I could try. I don't know if I can.
Now, granted, I read through every result earlier today, but my memory will not serve me well.
I can tell you that he definitely was at WrestleMania. But the first one, I don't know if I can tell you. Let me see if I can check it out real quick on Google.
There's so many known names for ECW World Champions early on that I'm not 100% sure on.
I'm pretty sure it's by the name we know, but I can't say that for a fact. Oh, that doesn't tell me if it was his first, though.
All right. I mean,
let me look. Yeah.
What's the first one you see?
9.
9? Okay.
But I don't know if it was his first.
And that gives me an idea of time frame.
Right, yeah.
And rest assured...
Oh, I'm sorry. 4. I do see 4 now.
Ha! Okay. That does not help me at all. That actually makes things so much worse.
I just saw it. 4 was his first.
Okay. All right. I have 2 more left.
Yes.
Okay. Did this person ever have a manager, and if so, who?
Okay. Manager, if so, who? All right. So I believe yes to the manager part. 100%.
I think you're going to get me this time. I'm not happy about this.
He's had several, it looks like. I'll give you one of them. Jim Crockett Promotions.
Jim Crockett Promotions? That was like a promotion. That wasn't a manager.
No, that's what they say it is. 3 months later. All right, I'll give you this one then. How about this?
I thought you were going to say Jim Cornette.
I was about to, too, but then I realized it was Jim Crockett, and I was like... That's what they say he came out as, but I guess that's just a promotion, okay?
Yeah.
All right, that was a freebie. Not that that really helps you.
No, because everybody came through that promotion at one point or another back then.
All right. Manager? Ooh, they do not call it a manager. Let me see. Wow, this is really friggin' convoluted.
Yeah, play.
Do we count... this might give it away a little bit, but do we count women as managers if they're not managers?
They're technically valets, so...
Yeah.
I can't say yes to give any... Obviously, this person had a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
So and I'm not going to say the name. They might give it away.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess you could use that as your last question.
No. If I asked you, just give me a yes or no first. If I asked you to tell me what their finisher is, does it involve actually like giving away like who they are as like a name or no? Like
100% yes.
Okay, so I won't ask that.
It would so give it away. You know exactly who it is.
Okay. Was this person American? If not, I need to know where country.
I believe yes is the answer, but let me give you 100% on that one. Yes, definitely yes, American.
Motherfuck. Okay. So, time to guess. I can't think of anybody from back then that would have been an ECW World Champion. That's...
I know, it's what's getting you, and I think that's really getting you on hang-up for... I think it's hanging you up and where it doesn't need to hang you up.
Huh?
It's hanging you up where it doesn't need to hang you up.
Okay. Well, Macho Man had Elizabeth, but he was never ECW Champion. I don't think Rick Rude was, nor do I think Jake Roberts was. I can't picture Hercules had Bobby Heenan. Andre the Giant was never ECW. DiBiase was never ECW. Honky Tonk Man, you have said Jimmy Hart. Had it been an Islander, that's a possibility. Or British Bulldog, I don't think Bulldog. Fuck. If I had another question, I wouldn't even know what to ask. Christ. I'll say... I'll say Rick Rude.
No, not Rick Rude. Alright, I will give you the name of his valet. And then after you guess, I'll give you the name of his final if you don't guess it right. Or his finisher. And then you'll know it by that, 100%. Luna Vachon was his valet.
Okay, Luna was with Bam Bam. Was Bam Bam? I'm Bam Bam. Did Bam Bam have hair? I'll just say Bam Bam for the sake of saying Bam Bam.
It is Bam Bam, yes. Congratulations. Yes, he did have hair. It was tough. See, when you said hair, it was black.
Yeah, it was like very fuzzy,
so
right?
So shaven, yeah, super close. And I was going to give you the final wave, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, if that didn't give it away.
I'm sitting here like racking my fucking brain about the ECW, and I'm
that you said like, his highest championship level, and that was his highest. After that, it was tag teams and
yeah, he didn't have like US or Intercontinental. I don't believe he had might have had TV title.
He did have TV title, I think. Let me check. No TV title. Yes, he did. He did have the television title. Sorry,
he beat Taz for the world title, right?
Yep.
That was when they went through the stage, I believe.
Yep.
Fuck. Good job. The hair actually threw me off more than anything else.
Yeah, it was tough because I was like, oh, he's not bald. I can definitely see black hair.
No, you're right. I just really wasn't thinking. DDP just did an interview about Bam Bam where he met Bam Bam before he got into wrestling, and Bam Bam was like, I'm going to get into wrestling. And like 2 years later, he saw him on TV. He's like, no shit. Like, that's kind of... DDP has some of the most... DDP's known people for so long.
I know. I didn't think DDP was in wrestling back when Bam Bam started.
DDP drove Rhythm of Blues, which was Greg Valentine and Honky Tonk Man, I believe, to the ring at WrestleMania 6 in a pink Cadillac. That was DDP's pink Cadillac.
Hmm.
So he's been around for that long, at the very least.
That's a long time. Yeah. Holy crap.
All right.
So, all right. That is our podcast for the week. So, Kat, anything special coming up this week?
Probably not until next week. I know Santa Clarita Diet blog's going to be happening at some point.
Nice.
But aside from that, just The Walking Dead, our wrestling, newest chapter of Tales from Plunder Blend, Tomb of Annihilation's up. And I don't have anything else exciting to announce yet. I'm hoping to have a big announcement maybe next week.
Well, all right. All right. So I guess that's going to wrap up another week of the Are You Not Entertained podcast.
Next week, they should just be in gear for a whole NXT preview and the WrestleMania preview.
Yeah, next week is going to be huge. So much to go through.
I think we're going to skip a lot of our segments, perhaps.
I think we should skip our segments next week. Just make it a straight preview. Straight preview, because there's a lot going on next weekend.
Deal.
And you know us, we'll go off on tangents. And unless something unless someone really knocks my socks off,
right?
I'm not going to...
And the next week's going to be just week after that's worse. Yeah, because we'll have Steve on, and we'll be, you know, running everything down.
So I think the next 2 weeks, our segments, we're going to call them off for 2 weeks. We're going to have a two-week hiatus for our segments.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. Flair.
Rick.
Not Charlotte.
No.
No. All right. So for Kent and myself, we will see you folks later.
Enjoy Taco Wednesdays, people.
Start them up.